Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still
You Cannot Say, written by the poet Jay Hatter, and the singer and the writer of the music is Shout Even Shy, a little ditty that we've all become accustomed to hearing at the beginning of the shows. And this is Deborah Lee. You're listening to A Team of Voices Radio, sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation, and we're here tonight to feature some of the lines from the poetry of the poet Alf Collier, paired up with some of the art by the artist Cindy Grunston, between the amazing quotes and the art, there should be some spectacular poetry, but there always is. I'm dealing with some stuff, so I'm just going to put my poem on the board, and I'm going to read it for Alf, and then I'm going to turn my mic over to A.P. Taylor, and he's going to make sure that all the amazing poems are done tonight. In the meantime, I also want to shout out a happy birthday to Sweet Pea. And as I said, I'm just going to throw this on the board. I'm going to read, and I'm going to go with my apologies that I can't hang out with you tonight, but I'll be back as soon as I can. And the poem is on the board, if you want to click on that. And what I did was I took the amazing quotes that were chosen for his prompts, and I took them all, and I turned them over to, turned them into a collaboration called Conversations and Whispered Wishes on Stars. And here we go. As the sun lazes on the horizon, lending its lethargy to the advance of twilight, we sat chatting as the sun colored the sky, then it set. And as the sky filled with glittering neon starlight, we read a poem that contained the lines, Eddies catch diamond facades midst the pastel clouds, painted in twilight's parade. With me sipping coffee, cream and sugar, and him drinking black tea, no milk. He shares sobering news with me, then reads the stanza. My watchtower observes the many moods of sky, sometimes clad in tangerine negligees, and sometimes wearing gray mantillas of clouds as I hold vigil with the changing phases of the moon, wearing a coronet of falling stars. Now my eyes see the falling stars, and he grins as my eyelids squeeze, whispering on all the stars that fall. He sat watching shadows of the outside world, and just to see them dance over the view, my eyes followed the shadow trails too. In his soft-toned voice, he told me that footprints follow a one-way alley, trading places with the steel shadows of yesteryears and hand-me-down cobblestones. And in this world, filled with replaceable things, those hand-me-down cobblestones grew irreplaceable and new to the paved streets they now line. Off to the side, we see the beach with salted waves wiping the sand, cleaning traces from the day. And he sighed, turned to me and said, when I look back, my footprints are erased from midnight scene. And with them gone, it's just as if the stroll has never been. But I whispered to him that the sea cannot wash away him or his poetry, and that the people see him in the lines that he writes. Winds whistle, blending with the splashed crashes from the faulty tide. Speaking again, he says, I walked in a vacuum of silence, not knowing where I was in a familiar place. Shaking his bowed head, ache is louder than his voice, mouthing frostbitten words hang in temperate icicles of regret. Then on that porch, as our eyes stared, a masked owl hooted from the eucalyptus tree branch, and I whispered that apologies can thaw those frostbitten words. Thumbing through the pages of his journal, he grabs his pen and then reads out loud, reciting the line he jots down. We used tinted thoughts to paint a montage of mementos. The night ends with me commenting on the power in the line, and a hug spawning his smile. Then I head home as the cashmere clouds drift, closing the curtains on night's misted mountain. And blackbirds chaperone me under that sky as I pray to chat again tomorrow. Goes on my footprints, footsteps play solitaire on the sigh of a breeze. End poem. And thank you, Alf. And again, happy birthday, my sweet. And AP, thank you so much. I gotta go.
Okay, see you later, Deb. Be good. Okay, I'm just going to bring a couple of people on here. Hello, 440. How are you?
Good. How are you, AP?
I am very, very well. How are you, Steve?
I'm all right. A little on the tired side, but managing.
I can tell that. I'm just going to bring a couple of people on, then we'll get your calm and case calm on the board. Hello, 720. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
Ah, that would be the birthday person. I'm very well. How are you, birthday
person? Yeah. I'm good.
Excellent. Have you looked at the board? We've all been putting birthday stuff on the board for you.
I have. Thank you very much, everyone.
You know, wishes and fireworks and edible Australian shepherds. You name it. It's all there. Hello to 70. You.
270. That's me.
You should have said hello. You should have just sort of not just stood there playing. You should have just said hi. That would have been good. Anyway, we're all good.
Well, hi.
Okay. That's it. Thank you. Much better. Okay. Even with the Australian accent. That sense. I mean, now we're getting somewhere. Okay. I'm going to go to the board, and I think firstly I'm going to grab Kay's poem, Stephen. Is that fair?
Sure thing.
Yes. And
yeah.
I think you read Kay's poem and you were going to read yours. Is that right?
Yeah, because Kay's also, you know, not feeling very well. So
yeah, well, seems to be the night for it, unfortunately. But anyway, let's go and put Kay's poem on the board, if it lets me, because of course it's not at the minute because it's decided to play, you know, funny buggers as it does these times. So let's try again. No, it does. You know, you take on something and everybody sort of, you know, away we go. And I should say, before you start reading, that Deb didn't want to have comments on her poem, but I wanted to say a few words anyway. And that was, that I thought that was a brilliant way to incorporate all those quotes that you did, Deb. And I know you're not feeling at all well and at all like yourself, so that makes it even tougher, but you really gave quite a beautiful visual scene of you being there with Alf, so thank you for doing that. And Stephen, I've got Kay's poem on the board now.
Indeed, and I'll have to agree with you on that too, AP, that it was a wonderful collaboration of sorts. Very well done, Deb. And this, let's see, Kay chose quote number 11 from Elf, and it's footprints follow a one-way alley, trading places with the steel shadows of yesteryears and hand-me-down cobblestones. And this is yesterday's Solitaires of Echoes, Twilighting Harbors Lost by Kay. Gray shadows lacing a ruffled hem and scents of white, wintry spirit tinseling colored paper sensitive, the child in days of lantern montage, stenciled in solace. Snow globe, a wardrobe celestial burrows aglow, as silvery champagne sugars the air, freckled, glittery in talc powdered glints, whispers in its sovereign of temperance twixt shadows of hardwood's footprints. End poem.
Well, that is only a short piece. That is only a short piece, but it does give a very beautiful sense of that image there of that child with the lantern. And I love silvery champagne sugars the air. I don't know why. I just do. I think it's a beautiful description of the snow and the ice and movement. So I am going to go across to Sweet to get a comment, please.
First off, I don't know, had to get off mute. I have dogs. I really thought the imagery was stunning. It's almost like being wrapped in the beauty of innocence and purity. The snow globe and the wardrobe, the celestial, all the words that she uses. And I also love these silvery champagne sugars. I just felt so warm in such a cold kind of snowy scenery, but she just wraps you in this, like I said, this innocence of warmth. And I thought it was just beautiful imagery, and her language always is stunning.
Thank you, Sweet. And I now have another caller. Hello, 503. How are you?
Hello?
Hello.
AP. Hey, this is Dave Prophet.
Dave, good to have you back. How are you?
Not bad, Dave.
Oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. My ankles bother me a little. I can't hang around very long on the phone. I would appreciate it if I could read earlier and
I've got Kay and then Stephen and then you. Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Righto. Now I'm just gonna get Wayne to comment on Kay's poem and then I'm gonna drop back to Stephen to get him to read his poem. Mr. Wayne, what did you think?
I thought this was a nice little brevity that Kay did. It's a wonderful read, Stephen. You did a good job. I like the way it started out. It said, gray shadows, lace have ruffled him in sensitive white. It's a lovely way to start the poem out. This whole poem is still full of kind of a sweet kindness. She's real, real delicate in this poem and did a good job. I like it a lot. Good job.
Perfect. Thank you, Wayne. And so, Stephen, I'm now wandering back to you as I have put your poem up on the board.
All right.
If you're wondering what that is, it is not Close Encounters of the Third Kind, although the tones are not dissimilar. It is a vacuum dressing pump, and it is telling me that it is not properly sealed at the minute. And so what I am doing is simultaneously is putting more masking tape on my bloody foot to stop it from alarming. So bear with me as I attempt to fix this thing once and for all this time. But meantime, Stephen, if you could read, and hopefully we won't hear too much more of my Close Encounters friend.
Right. Okay. I use the quote, the first quote, he sat watching shadows of the outside world. And I call this a fungus of frailty, faculty for friends. Of frailty's indecision, tottering tips down bare the keys, thunder wells behind the eyes as glaring anger frees. Cockroach value hewed into twigs that fall from trees. Terror reaches to the spine and pinches wobbling knees. Hair that peaks beneath the bowl and freckles frame the sneeze. Whines and weeps are choked behind trembling lips and pleas. Deception lies in belly's muck of mushroom gills and rotten pears, erupting through esophagus within acid reflux flares. Chewing up enamel while bile leaves burning tongue impaired, vomit sloshes through the guts, chopping roots of every hair. Upon the line of voiceless masks that fill the empty air, the sun does shine atop the storm that curls and tails despair. End poem.
Image. You must have gone early to get that one, Stephen. I liked particularly... the tail curling, which I thought was very cute at the end, and I particularly liked the rhyming of sneeze and please for some reason, and I can't give you a good reason why, but I really did. I am going to head to Wayne for a comment. Wayne, what did you think?
I think it's a very complex poem. It's got a lot of fantastic descriptions with lots of imagination. I like the line. It says, the cockroach values hewed and hit twigs that fall from the trees. Every one of the lines, I have hard trouble reading because you've got them so stacked so perfectly. But it's great. Every line in this is wonderful, and you did a great job with this. Lots of imagination, lots of details. Love it. Wish I could write something like that.
Thank you,
Wayne.
Sweet Pea, did you want to say a few words?
Well, I think the monorhyme is amazing, just to start there, because I always have a really hard time with monorhyme, and I think that's pretty awesome. And I love the cadence in it. But, oh, my God, let's talk about the darkness. The darkness in here is just stunning. And I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with the anxiety of real life, just being in that place where you need to go do something and you just like that bile wells up and, you know, you don't want to do it. And you don't, it's like almost like public speaking, how somebody might feel when they're they have to go up and talk in public speak. And it just kind of made me, you know, feel like, oh, my God, I don't want to go do this. And you just have that anxiety build up in you. And I thought that was, like, just tremendously descriptive of, you know, what somebody might feel or there's something they've got to do. So I thought it was really a great poem and hauntingly descriptive of something that may make you feel that way, regardless of what it might be. So outstanding.
That's sweet.
And I'm going to go to Mr. Prophet. And before I do, though, Stephen, did you want to talk about shows coming up? Because I know you've already, you're A, tired, and B, you've already done a show. So have you got some shows coming up on Poetic Slice you want to talk about before Dave does his comment? Because we might let you go.
We only have a couple more shows this week. Wednesday, we have the Poetic Inklings of Tomorrow. It is our visit with our Artist of the Year, Lisa Asato. Kay found about a dozen more paintings from her that are just amazing and more winter-themed again. I think it's January.
Yep.
That's at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. And then Saturday is Storyboards with Skye Darkholm. And it is a triple feature. She's going to feature all three of the RoboCop movies for character rights, quote rights, scene rights, movie rights. Geek Out with Sky, 8 p.m. Saturday night. And that's all we got this week.
Thank you, Stephen. And for your last comment, I'm going to go to Mr. Prophet. And then, Dave, we're going to get you to do some reading.
Yeah, I like this quite a bit, Stephen. It reminds me of people that have eaten the wrong type of mushroom and all of the digestive ills that come of it if you don't die from it first. I also agree with the other comment about it being a precursor to doing something that you don't want to do. And I always found that I fretted around about that quite a bit, and then once I got through with it and went up and did it, I always felt a lot better. So I really liked this poem, Stephen. I think it was well written, and you put a lot of thought into it, so well done.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for that comment, Dave. And Stephen, did you want to stick with us, or did you want to say your farewells?
You know, I'm going to have to get going. All the words are getting blurry. That means I better hit the hay. So I appreciate everybody.
Yep.
Thanks
again, Stephen. And thanks for reading Kay's poems.
Have a nice one, Stephen.
Good night.
Okey-dokey. Dave, we are in your hands.
You said me?
I did.
Oh, okay. Let me refresh my page because I don't see it up there right now. But there it is. Okay.
Four or five.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got it. All right.
Got it? Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, here we go. I thought this was a beautiful, a cute picture. So I just went ahead and wrote about it. And some of the other, I incorporated some of the other prompts into this poem just for the storyline. It's called Dream Horsey. That's my little girl in the corral of the north. Her friend, a magical horse. She's asleep on his back. As I approach him, he looks at me, snorts, and moves his ears. She wakes up. Hi, Daddy. Hi, sweetheart. Sleeping, huh? Oh, no, we was dreaming together, she giggles. You were dreaming with the horse? No, Daddy, he's not a horse. He's the Dream Horsey. That's what you call him? Well, of course I do. You have dreams with him? Mm-hmm. Him and me, we dream together. About what, Chelsea? Well, people and folks I never met, like the lady with the red hair. She lives in the woods, talks to an owl, or the white raven that talks to Horsey, or the girl that sleeps on the big grizzly bear in the woods. He's draped over a log there. My white-haired school teacher that stands in front of her mirrors of yesterday, worries about what she'll look like tomorrow. We dream about a witch on a black horse and a wolf, a black wolf familiar. She scares me, Daddy. course, he gets between her and me and paws at the ground. I don't think he likes her. Her hat made from old newspaper. The witch of old news is what I call her. More giggles from my darling daughter. There's one more I dream about. What's that, darling? Well, a red-headed woman dressed in black. She plays with dragons. I can never see her face. They're red and blue, just like the ones on your back, Daddy. What does that mean? The woman that plays with dragons is your mother, Chelsea. She loves you so much. She told me this because I dream of her, too. The dragons will take us to her one day. Can Dream Horsey come, too, Daddy? God would not leave him behind, honey. And the quote that I chose for this is, we use tinted thoughts to paint a montage of mementos. That's the end of the poem.
That's very nice. That's very nice, Dave. I did read the author's note too, which is very cute. No, it is. I have to say, there's having a daughter is a wonderful thing. I have not had a conversation with her about a dream horsey or beau when she was young enough. I'm sure she probably because it's really sweet. It's just really cute. And it's beautifully. So thank you. Sweet. Did you want to say a few words?
Yes, I love the storytelling aspect of it. I love the idea of having a dream horsey because I spent a lot of time with horses that we weren't dreaming about them. We were cleaning up after them. So I'm hoping dream horses aren't as nasty. I like the way, as always, you have such a creative mind, and I love the way you wrote to the quote and to, you know, using your imagination as always, David. And I love the fact that I know who the dragons represent, and so I know who the mother is. So I like that aspect too. So you bring it all together once again, David. Always do.
Oh, thank you, sweet. Thank you.
Okie doke. Thank you, sweet. And I now have a new caller. Hello, 907. How are you?
Hi, AP. It's Liquid Damage.
Liquid Damage, how are you?
I'm good. Good to be here.
Excellent. Good to have you on board. Now, did you want to say a few words up front about, did you hear Dave's poem, Liquid Damage, or not?
I did hear a little bit of it, but I was a little distracted. I want to wonder where David gets his imagination, because it went overboard with this one. It was cute, and I liked the part about the tiny horse, the little pony, very cute. But I'd have to read it again, and I can't get it to come up on my computer. So I'll have to read it some other time, David.
Thank you.
And Wayne, did you want to say a few words about Dave's poem?
Yeah, I didn't get to see it either, but I was just not listening to him read it. He's a wonderful read. He had a wonderful reaction between a father and a child. And, you know, the girls go from painted horses to roaring Corvettes so fast, you better enjoy those wonderful days while you have them, because they grow up fast. Lots of loving emotion in this poem, and I wish I could have seen the poem and read along with you, but you did a good job. Love it.
Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks, Dave. And thanks, Wayne. Now, Dave, I think you have to disappear because you were on a pretty tight time frame. So, or are you able to hang around for a little bit?
Well, I don't know. I think I'm just going to get off. My foot feels okay until I set up in it for a while, and then I have to prop it back up again. But it's getting a lot better than it was, so hopefully I'll be 100%.
Hopefully you'll be back up. Yeah. Absolutely.
Huh?
And I relate to that because I've got a pretty great big operation on my heel, so I've got a vacuum dressing on it. So I know all about having not so much fun with the beast.
Boy, I guess we're both in the same boat, huh?
We are, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But all the best with it, Dave. Thanks for calling back in, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, thank you.
Bye, David.
Okay.
Bye-bye, sweetie. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay. So, I thought, Sweet, do you have a poem for this week?
Hi, Sweet.
Sweet? Oh, is Sweet there? Or has she got...
I'm here. I am here. I do have a poem. Have not put my picture. I don't have my picture on it, but I can put it up there. I have not attached my picture.
Okay. Well, bear with me for one second, because while you're doing that, I wanted to say a few words about Alcolea, because all the quotes this week are from Alf, who is, without a shadow of a doubt, one of my favorite writers on all poetry. He's a very generous writer too. I was only on All Poetry for about a year and was still very much learning what I was doing. And he agreed to do a poem with myself and JR at the time. And I remember being a little bit starstruck, actually, that he would agree to do that, because the two of those folk were just ridiculously good at what they did and had hundreds of gold medals and, you know, 200 front pages each, and I was just learning my craft. But they were very generous, and I still remember that from like 7 years ago. The thing about Alf is that he reads a lot on the site. He comments on the site a lot, and he genuinely is learning and improving his craft all the time. But Alf certainly, you know, there's not a lot of Australians on the site, but, you know, Alf for me is sort of in that sort of top five of Australians on All Poetry and does a brilliant job. So, and he hasn't been well recently, and that's why he hasn't been writing much. But he's a brilliant writer, and the way he writes is I find it just inspiring. So. Get better soon, Alf. We hope to see you around the site again shortly. Okay. Having said that, I am now going to go to the videotape, and with a little bit of luck...
I can put it on. I can put it on the board now.
Oh, can you put it... Okay, cool. Thank you.
I will do that. All right.
And...
three.
We will... All yours. What?
Oh, my. All right.
Wait a minute. I can't find it.
That's because I just put it up there, so you got to refresh.
Oh.
You got to refresh.
I got it.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay, this is Roses and Sad Songs. She lay in a bed of roses and not a thorn pricks her skin. A sweet aroma wafts above as bypassers stop and grin. Crusty lady sarcasm pours down from jealous lips while she chokes on nightshade crawling down her throat and eating all her sins. Listen to the melodies of Prince Charming's foolish yawn, crooning love's authentic song. Crooning love's authentic sound, a throat burning while white smoky lies melting in the monochrome colors of a drunken piano haze, played in chords of a bluesy Billie Holiday sad melodic song. The pretty mirror on the wall shows the world a tarnished crown. Beads of crimson red drip from ivory toes, from glass slippered shards that ripped open delicate skins as a dying shroud pretending to spin and dance in a world God mad had her wrong. And a poem.
Very intriguing. I was looking through the list, Sweet, while you were reading the poem. I know that's a bad thing to do, but I was. And I looked under H for Happy Birthday, and I looked under B for Happy Birthday, and then I went to Gress because he did a Happy Birthday, and I can't find anything, so... Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear sweet pea. Happy birthday to you. Okay, now we've got that. I
you
am
stole my
go.
Thunder, AP.
Thank you. Anyway, I wrote to the quote. We use tinted thoughts to paint a montage of mementos.
There you go. There you go. So, liquid damage, what did you think?
I thought this was absolutely precious. It was sad, you know, in a way, and dark, which was funny because it was at the same time beautiful and precious, and it had a lot of great imagery in there. I love the last verse, the pretty mirror on the wall shows the world a tarnished crown. Beads of crimson red drip from ivory toes, from glass slipper shards that ripped open delicate skins as the dying shroud, pretending to spin and dance in a world gone mad hatter wrong. That is a brilliant, brilliant verse, and it really finishes off this poem in a fantastic way. I think you wrote this extremely well, sweet, and I really loved it. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Lovely. Well done. Wayne, did you want to say a few words about Sweet's piece?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. Happy birthday, Sweet. I agree with the pretty mirror on the wall. I agree the pretty mirror on the wall shows the world in a tarnished crown. The reflections are skewed, and that's how I see the world should be. I think we should spin and dance in a world gone mad or wrong. Wonderful insight and a touch of warm sadness in this poem that makes me want to hold you tight and smile. Love you, sweet.
Oh, thank you, darling.
There you go. There
yeah,
you go.
Happy birthday, sweet.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And I actually have read the poem now, sweet. I know that's strange, but I have. And...
I'm glad.
It's got a great sort of delicacy to it. And Linda's right, it's got some darkness to it too. It sort of feels, do you remember way back in the Victorian age there were these things called an epergne? And they were little hanging baskets and made out of glass, yeah? And they served no purpose except to sort of hang there, yeah? They were there to be pretty. Yeah, and I was sort of thinking it's sort of like the epergne broke, you know, it didn't have a lot of purpose in the first place, but now it's broken and it's actually more dangerous than it was functional in the first place. And sort of the words took me there, and I have no idea why, but they did.
Interesting. Yeah. But, you know, that's funny because I would think very closely to this poem, that's how Victorian women felt. They were there to be pretty. But God forbid if they broke. They were more dangerous than anything.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So there you go.
There
you go. Anyway, that was where my head was. Now, turning to the next poem, and I was probably... now, Wayne, you've got a SoundCloud, haven't you, today?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Sure. Well, we might get that SoundCloud up. Let me go to the video and grab the words so that we can read along, and then I will do the SoundCloud appropriately. Yeah.
Okay.
And hello.
This is all SoundCloud.
I'll just see. Just let me check the yes. Hello 937. Hi Silk. How are you?
Hey, hey, P. Everybody.
Good to see you. And hear you.
Hello, sweet P.
I will be back
happy
to
birthday,
you in one
P.
tick.
Thank
Thanks
you.
Very much. Well done. I am going to go and play Wayne's piece. And are you on a time crunch there, Silk?
No, I can hang out for about an hour.
Ha! Be- Beautiful. I love that. Okay, righto. Here we go. Here's Wayne with his SoundCloud. Coming down.
This is called Red Stripe Toboggan. Chilly the child, her hand needing mitten, trying to stay warm, holding her kitten. Went for a sleigh ride on a cold winter day. She's not sure how her horse got away. Sitting there cold, left outside all alone. Would not have left if trouble were known. Icicles formed, snow coming down, crackling branches, the only sound. Frostbitten words, hanging tempered icicles of regret. Little girl cold, but worried about her pet. Day turned dark for a seven-year-old. She never thought about it getting so cold. Lanterns on sled began to go dim. Chances of survival was looking slim. She felt she was frozen, even her hair. Heard a noise, a large grizzly bear. The trip was over. No one knew where she went, even the dogs. Didn't pick up her scent. In early spring, her uncle went jogging. That's when he found a red striped toboggan. In.
Red striped toboggan. Frostbitten in tempered icicles of regret. In other words, they shouldn't have gone on that toboggan. And they certainly probably shouldn't have gone jogging with it, is what you're saying, Wayne, I'm thinking. Anyway, Liquid Damage, did you want to say a few words about yeah. Wayne's pet?
Wayne, you did it perfect this time. I mean, it was so serious and so well written. And then, boom, you get us with that one line. Even the dogs didn't pick up her scent. I mean, it was fabulous. I thought in the beginning it was a metaphor for putting the cart before the horse, but then I thought, no, knowing Wayne, this is exactly what it's supposed to say. There's no metaphor in it. It's just a lovely poem about a little girl lost in her toboggan. And yeah, you did it wonderfully. Thank you for sharing it, Wayne.
Thank you. I don't know what happened to the cat.
Yeah, good question. We don't worry about those things. We're only worried about the girl. Oh, and the toboggan, by the way. Silk, did you want to say a few words about Wayne's toboggan?
Yeah, I thought this poem had a lot of strong emotion in it. I thought you really captured the feeling of regret and loss very well. I'm assuming the girl didn't make it. And you kind of could feel that rising tension throughout the poem as you read too. And your music went very well with your reading, and I just really enjoyed it. I mean, very emotional piece that made you feel pretty deeply. Yeah, great work.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Good work, Wayne.
Yeah,
thank
happy
you.
New Year.
And thank you, Silk. And I now have another caller. Hello, 603.
Hello.
Hello. Who am I speaking with?
Okay. Sky.
Hey,
Sky. How you going, Sky? Scott, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. I'm sorry, did you say how are you?
Good. I'm very, very
Hi,
well. Sky. How are you?
It's good. I'm sorry, you're breaking up a bit. Thank you. I'm great. How are you guys doing?
No. All good. That's sweet. Did you want to say some words about Wayne's poem, please?
Yeah, I thought this was a sad poem, but it was so read so well and writtenly. It was emotionally. It was so emotionally well done.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was beautiful. Man, that poor kid. You did good on this one, Wayne. It definitely pulled all the emotion through.
Thank you, there, sweet. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Now, Sky, are you on a time crunch tonight?
I do not have too much time. I called in late, yes. But I mean, I don't know what the order is. But, yeah.
No. Yeah, I will grab your palm now, Scott. So bear with me. Deb's much better at this than me. So, you know, I just sort of, I'm the hired help. So just bear with me. Spare music in the background. And it should be up now.
Sounds like me.
Thank you. All right, this is, this was, the quote, I just want to make sure I put it in here. That's not the right one. Okay, I'm just going to read it because I don't know where it is. Oh, and mine. Okay. Which was, we used tinted thoughts to paint a montage of mementos. And of course, that's Alice Collier. Brilliant quote.
Yes.
This is To Boris by Guy Darko. Chester boughs resound like yellow jasper light, set in loosewood maples and violet stones of polar white. You run the seizing set, Stannis rose upon the sill, and all the use of winter and all that warmth may still.
Very, very lovely, Scott. Very, very lovely. It's great, great image, but tissue. I love the Chester boughs resound like yellow jasper light. It's very lovely. Just sings off the page. It's beautiful. I am going to go to Liquid Damage. Liquid Damage, what do you think?
I thought this was genuinely loving and sweet. It had wonderful imagery to it. And for a short brevity, it really was a powerful, emotional bang. The last two lines, and all the youth of winter and all that warms me still. I mean, it just kind of rounds up the whole poem. I'm assuming you're talking about your dog and what a loving memory you have of him. And that always gets me memories of pets. It's kind of a twinge in my heart. But nice poem. I really loved it. Thanks, Sky.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And I was going to go to Wayne. Wayne, did you want to say a few words about Sky's
piece? I think it's a nice little brevity. It's got great rhyme and a cute little story, and it makes one feel good inside. It's just a nice little cute little poem. Good job, Sky. Love it.
Thank you.
And I was finishing by going to Silk. Silk, what did you think of Sky's piece?
Yeah, I thought it was a very lovely and beautiful little brevity here. I thought the image is great, but I think your poem actually stood out more than the image, which I said in the comment there that I think the image ended up complimenting your poem instead of the other way around. And I love that you run as evening sets, that the moss grows upon the sill, and all the youth of winter, and all that warms me so. It's just a lovely little sentiment.
Thank you, sir. Great comment. And thank you to Sky for calling in. It's appreciated. So you can certainly hang out.
I usually try to call at 10 and stay the hour, but I couldn't today. Is Sweet here? Did I hear Sweet?
Yes, she is.
Happy birthday, and I'm sorry for yelling at you. For some reason, I thought you were in Boston. I was like, you're not in
Boston. If I was in Boston, I would come see you, I promise.
Okay, all right. I hope you guys have a wonderful night, and I got you guys bookmarked to read you this week. Thank you guys so much. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Okie dokie. Liquid Damage, I have your poem up on the board. The Minstrel's Song.
I'll have to refresh that.
You will.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh, there it is.
What's happened?
It's up there. I got it. I love this picture when I saw it. I said, what can I do with this? So this is called The Minstrel Song by Liquid Damage. The minstrel did a tap, tap, tap with bow on his violin, letting all the people know that his show was about to begin. And if you happen to... Oh, wait. I think something's missing in there.
Oh.
Oh, there is something missing. Oh, well. And if you happen to miss a note, please don't be too alarmed. I've brought a plethora to listen to, so many of you might get lost. Hold on to your seats and listen up. Your minds are about to get tossed. At first, his bow started slowly and babied the strings as he went. It sounded like angels were singing, so somebody tossed him 2 cents. At that, the minstrel smiled. He had a lesson for him. Don't be so quick to be roguish. You might look like an ass in the end. With that, he quickened the tempo, playing each note like a pro. The hues of his music were lovely, pushing his bow to and fro. He scurried around all the people, making them smile at his prance. Then some of the people got busy. They got up and started to dance. The music got louder and louder, and he played pizzicato with ease. His fingers moved like lightning. The people looked like they were pleased. The notes flew into the evening. They sounded like birds on the wing. And then the minstrel did something. He rallied the people to sing. Like wind swirling in a tornado, the notes flew around and around. Faster and faster he played on. His sweat flew all over the crowd. The people's faces got happy the more and more that he played. The music shot through them like bullets, so all of the people, they yayed. The minstrel then played the sweet spot. The notes got softer to hear. He played like he was an angel. The people got up and they cheered. When the music was over, he had this one thing left to do. He said with a smile on his face, I played this one just for you. In poem.
There you go. And so the tune was, Linda. It was a bit like, you know, that great sort of banjo number with sort of dueling banjos where they start off with a few little notes each and go backwards and forwards and then they get ridiculously complicated.
It
sort of had that feel to a musician who knew what they were doing and decided to sort of tease people before getting into doing it properly, which was fun. And it's the first time that I can ever recall the word pizzicato in a poem, which is something. I like it when I read a word for the first time, and that's the first time I can ever remember seeing that in a poem. I am going to go to Sweet. Sweet, what did you think of the Damages post?
Well, first off, to me, when you write like this, you're magic. When you write from your heart, you just are, I don't know, there's something about it. It's like you're a queen of rhyme, and you always sing in rhyme, and you know, I always hear it, and you just have this way of your cadence, and your voice is just, it's like a perpetual grin when you're talking like this and when you're reading like this. And I just find it magical. It'd be like sitting in front of you and listening to a magical genie or something, and just this perfect little grin on your face as you read. And I love listening to you read, and I love you listen, you know, just your poetry in general. I think it's just, you're very gifted, and it's an honor to listen to you.
Well, thank you, sweet. And happy birthday again.
Oh, thank you.
I've got to say happy birthday a lot of times. Wayne, what did you think of Liquid Damage's piece?
Well, I said you have a wonderful cadence in this poem. You're a wonderful cadence in this poem. It's like a story by song, perfectly balanced and a wonderful storyline. He gave a great performance to the one he loved, while the crowd cheered to his wonder. Love can make you perform at a top level. This is a lovely job, and you make us all glad to be alive. Great job on the poem.
Thank you, Wayne.
Great comment, Wayne. Thank you. And I am going to go to Silk to round off the comments.
Excuse me. And, yeah, I agree with you here. The pizzicato right here, that word, I haven't seen that either. I had to look it up. And I always love that. Me also, I love your rhyming here, especially... you had some that are a little unconventional, which I never thought of. When I said the people's faces are happy, the more and more that he played, the music shot through them like bullets, so all of the people, they yayed. And I would have never thought about rhyming yayed with played, but it worked perfectly, I thought, there. And also, I liked the bit of humor up here where you're talking about, where was that at? Where was it? You're saying people... being roguish and don't be an ass. I can't find the exact... Oh, here we go. So don't be so quick to be roguish. You might look like an ass in the end. And then also, I really liked what you said up here about the brought the Thora to listen to, then your minds are about to get tossed. I haven't really heard someone's mind getting blown kind of put quite that way before, and I really enjoyed it.
Right.
Thank you, Sil. Great comment. And thank you, Liquid Damage. And I have put up...
Thanks, AC.
...the poem from Phil. Thank you. Well done. I have put up the piece by Phil the Poet, and I'm going to play his SoundCloud now.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Still Life of a Kiwi Fruit. Preparing the easel in the darkened, morbid colours. I arranged the fruit and flowers the way she liked them, with the slice of the emerald innards facing outwards, ebony seeds pricking like tiny darts at my tear-stained face. I sliced the brown, hairy skin. In doing so, I cut my thumb. The scent of a kiwi fruit mingled with the taste of rusted iron, fills the moist air with the darkened tomb of an attic, with the rot and the charcoal rain like a sepulchre kingdom. My imagination transforms the dull room of worthless art into a place radiant with the morning light of a new day, where the air is filled with the fragrance of bluebells. Laughter of love seeps into the grains of the timber work. There she sits, ready to be captured for eternity. A ripe apple, innocence locked up in mortal flesh. She is like a statue of ivory marble with a scent of kiwi fruit, with a luminous, glowing emerald eyes, sparkling like absinthe. Since her beauty faded, so did the life of this artist. Incarcerated in this room of damning reminders of yesterday, green eyes penetrate the poor man's haunted soul, that in his madness, he cuts the innocent fruit to pieces. End poem.
And his quote, for the record, was, "We used tinted thoughts to paint a montage of mementos." And he has, he's really, I loved his tone in that film. I know you read often and you send in SoundClouds, but there was something really sort of really intense about how you read that. And I was quite impressed. Wayne, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, when I first read this poem, I didn't get all the emotion in it that I got, well, after he read it, and he read it, he put so much emotion in his poem. It's amazing. It's twice the poem I thought it was. It's a very good poem. He did a good job with it, as usual. But he's got a lot of emotion in his poem, and it sounded good. I liked it a lot.
He did. Yep, no, absolutely agreed. Liquid Damage, what did you think of that piece by Phil?
Yeah, this piece was exceptionally interesting. Phil writing about Kiwi and having it being arranged as a part of a central picture, you know, that he's going to paint, and then he cuts it and he tastes it, and it's just interesting how he's morphed from painting it to eating it. And there's a lot of this that I know I'm not getting, because I'm sure that the kiwi is a metaphor for something.
Yes.
But it's beautiful as always. Phil always writes beautiful. And the way he talks about the kiwi is kind of like a sexy, wild way. You know, he's explaining the kiwi, and that's really interesting. But I liked it. I thought it was a cool poem. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you, Liquid Damage. And Sweet, did you want to say a few words?
I can't tell you how spectacular his metaphor here is. Absolutely genius. He kind of blows me away with his brilliance on this. And just FYI, it was front page pick 28 minutes ago. Before it was even read live. So congrats to you on that. So it is dark and cunning, and it's a dark, deep dive into your neurosis kind of thing to me. And I love the quote. I picked it myself, and I'm kind of glad he took the dark angle with it too. So Phil, I really, really enjoyed that. Yeah.
Thank you, Sweet. Thank you. Great comment.
Be another read.
Thank you. Thank you, as always, Phil. Now, we've got a piece by Heavenly Angel, who's been up on the board and I believe is almost falling asleep. And so I don't have a SoundCloud Heavenly, so I'm assuming that means I should read it. So this is A World of Our Own by Heavenly Angel, and it was done to the piece, quote, "We used tinted thoughts to paint a montage of mementos." And it goes a little bit like this. "We use tinted thoughts to paint a montage of mementos, whether it be in one poem or 20. I, the clover to your crimson, you, the crimson to my clover. I inhale your essence as the fresh aroma of a rain-scented sky. Our exchange of vows spoken and recited touching as a morning breeze, soft and warm. It's like I can literally feel life flowing around me. Wishing to have that one moment in time when my soul would find its mate. I looked towards constellations dotting licorice skies, and one lone star fell down, touching me with its essence and energy. Commitment, communication, and truth, reaching inner depths with softness, a quiet power emanating from empathy's heart. We created a beautiful world of our own. No time nor place can raise, and I could not ask for more." Silence is always good.
Wow. Yeah, that's
Heavenly
amazing.
Angel, that is a beautiful poem. That is a beautiful poem. Beautifully written, very touching, very heartfelt, beautiful poem. And so I'm going to go to the king of romance first, Silk, to get a comment.
I don't know about that, but This is beautiful. So full of beauty. I loved her reference to the old song Crimson and Clover, which is definitely
yes.
a classic. And just brings up so many good feelings right off the bat there. And I've noticed Heavenly Angel, I think, actually would be more the king, or queen of romance here, because she writes so many, I think almost every piece I've ever read of hers has been just full of beauty and romanticism of some
yeah.
sort of another. And this is no exception. I love the four stanza in particular, wishing to have that one moment in time when my soul would find its mate. I looked towards constellations, dotting licorice skies, and one lone star fell down, touching me with its essence and energy. It's just lovely all the way through.
Yeah, great. Agreed. So, yeah, very much so. And Liquid Damage, what did you think?
I thought this was beautiful. It was just full of purity, and her poetic language in this is just spectacularly beautiful. I like the way she phrases her words. The flow of this was beautiful, and the imagery was really brilliant, and I like that I could see what she was writing, and that's a sign of a good poem is when its imagery
yeah.
is so bright and brilliant that it's like photographs as you read, and that's what I liked about this poem. Great job, Heavenly Angel.
Back comment. Thank you. Thank you, Liquid Damage. And Wayne, what did you think of this piece?
Yes, this poem shows a public harmony between two loving people in the way she wrote this. And she brings the two people into a single entity with their soul, with being a soulmate. It's romantic and pure. Crimson Clover was sung by Tommy James and Shondells, and number one hit in January 1971 for our car property. Might be 1970, but I believe it was 71. Great song, great time. Great poem. Enjoyed it.
Thank you very much, Wayne. And thank you for your piece, Heavenly Angel. It fitted in beautifully with the show, and I'm sorry it got a little bit later, but you at least were still on the board while it happened, so thank
hey.
You again.
Hey, AP.
Hey, yes, Wade.
I've got to run, but I would love to talk about my show Thursday night first, if that's okay.
Please do. Of course you can. Yes.
Okay. Thursday night, Sweet Discussions, back on Thursday. Woohoo! Back home. Is going to be comedy and tragedy. anything you would like to write about any of the sketches or comics from 1970 Saturday Night Live. Crew. So that is what Thursday night is about. We're going to be doing comics all this month, and so I've got some quotes and some various sketch ideas from the 1970 Saturday Night Live groups of John Belushi, Gilda Radner, Chevy Chase, Lord Steve Martin, Dan Aykroyd. So all of them are up on the board. So come on by. We'll be discussing that group of comics and or the tragedy of those comics. So come on by. I'd love to talk to everybody about it. So 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Say again.
All right, guys. Thanks. I've had a wonderful time. Happy birthday. All that. Thank you, guys. Love y'all.
Bye.
Bye, sweet.
Good night, Angel.
Bye. All right. Bye, guys.
And bye. Well, bye, sweet, and bye, Angel. Both have good evenings. And I have now got a little bit up but because of all the comments, but I've got Gerald Green on the board, and I was going to play his SoundCloud. It's just that I was desperately looking for a version of Happy Birthday for Sweet, and I couldn't find one. Went down to Stevie Wonder, and all that's there is Superstition, which is a worry. So here's Gerald now.
Tell me Consider, written and read by Gerald Green. The bald eagle dominates the verdant land, soars above the amber waves of grain. People watch its glory, sing anthems to its valor, as it glides and glistens in the sunlight, making nations bend their knees. Put its portrait on the greenback. Give it worship in the gilded boardroom. Let the reputation swell with history's record of the golden arrows in its talons. Preach the mantra of its olive branches. Tell of mercies given downtrodden strangers. Make the world know of its value using hidden force when not agreed. Just be careful. Keep your distance. Never let its yellow beak come near you. Don't allow that fierce and razored weapon do to you what others feel. If it lands upon your outstretched hand, you will learn what I have learned. When its angry talons sink inside your flesh, destroying what it will without concern. Skin will tear, red blood will flow as muscles can't contain the piercing forces, ripping through, creating pain, destroying all who support its weight. It be, and let it glide above and over everything it was. Turn your head, pretend it's friends with someone else, and look aside for everything you need.
Sense, Gerald, is that that's almost the Gerald version of a star-spangled banner in the form of an eagle. It's really quite beautiful. Wayne, what did you think?
I said this is a wonderful tribute to our eagle. The eagle stands for power and justice, not to be tread upon. Your poem gave me a patriotic chill in my spine. The eagle soars above all else with pride and honor. Hail to the eagle. Thanks, Gerald. I needed that boost. Good job.
Yeah, great comment. Thank you, Wayne. And Liquid Damage, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was very patriotic, and the eagle was a great metaphor for showing the power of the emblem of the anthem itself. He did a great job with the music behind there, and as always, his reads are fantastic. He's got such a great voice, and I thought he did a great job on this. Thanks, Gerald, for sharing it.
Brilliant work, Gerald, as always. Beautifully written, and I certainly thought it was a great piece. Now, Silk, I am going to put your poem up on the board. Are you okay to read it with the background noise there, or did you want me to read it, Silk?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you guys don't mind, I mean, I think that's, I'm just sitting inside here. I think you guys are going to hear pop music while I read, though, I guess.
Yeah, it's just a little loud in the background, so I might read it for you if that's okay.
Yeah, sure, if you want to. I'm not too picky, I guess.
Okay. Righto, well, here we go. This is Shattered Steps by Silk Black Rose, given it is just a little noisy in the background there. And there are two quotes that he chose. The frostbitten words hang in tempered icicles of regret, and footprints follow a one-way alley. And this is Shattered Steps, and it goes a little bit like this. Memories of her furious hunt stalk me along the years. The wolf of her dire lament. I wonder if she hated me. Did the wild viper of vengeance ravage the jagged cliffs I left when I devoured her heartbeats? Did that serpent pierce her bones, poisoning her marrow and writhing beneath her flesh, as of the ghosts of broken lovers that haunt these tainted streams? Were then the shattered night of ceaseless moons shines upon this hall of painted sorrows that echoes with my infernal steps? Would she forgive me, monster to monster, after a century of blood and death, or die upon my blade as I pluck her arrow from my breast, savouring the scent of wild blossoms, while I kiss her lips and reclaim her dying breath in part? Something like that. So, okay.
Wow. Hey, that's great.
Yeah. Liquid Damage, what did you think of that piece by Silk?
I thought that was so beautiful, beautifully dark as well, but it was such a piece of pure love, whether requited or not. It just showed a wild side of love, and I just think you wrote this really well. I wonder if she hated me. Did the wild viper of vengeance ravage the jagged cliffs I left when I devoured her heartbeats? That is simply beautifully written and so masterfully poetic. The whole thing, your poetic language is just awesome. So thank you, Silk, for sharing this. It's really great.
Well, thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.
Great comment, Linda. And Wayne, did you want to say a few words about this piece by Silk?
Yeah, this is a pretty emotional poem here. It's kind of, when these two people get mad at each other, it's hell to pay. You know, shooting arrows and for centuries, it looks like it's they're held pain when they hate each other, but the love that's before each other is strong. They've shown in this poem. It's a good job and well written, and I've enjoyed it a whole lot. Good job, Eric.
Well, thank you.
Well done, Silk. I really liked the perspective. It's a great image, but you know, I like that it, you know, that there's something that has sort of ended a life and yet is reflecting upon it. And there's something very carefully worded about that language, and it's not an easy thing to try and do, and I think you did it very well. So.
Well, thank you, Dan, for the read.
No, not at all. Okie dokie. So says he, going back to the board, we have got, let me have a look at the list. We have got poems by Titus, A Slam Cloud, to go. We have got Crystal, and we have got Mine. So I might do Mine now, and that then gives a chance for Crystal to call in if she wants to. And the poem that I did, which was only this morning, was to the quote, "The echoes of my footsteps play solitaire on the sigh of a breeze." And I'll just put that up now. And so it's just up on the board if you refresh. This is the poem by me, More 500 Than Solitaire. And it goes a little bit like this. Once, not so many years past, I recognized myself in a mirror. I cannot bear to see the reflected version it says I've become. Surface delicacies held by society and once preened by this wearer, sit either lost, discarded, or replaced by an artificial sum. And that's difficult to accept, as so many friends already departed, walking next to one pallid with a raven and halberd at hand's ease. For those shadows we know lead into a staircase started. The echoes of my footsteps play solitaire on the sigh of a breeze. Yet the lure of children and simplest of pleasures, with connection and joy as friends writing pages diverse. Mangoes, pineapple and cherries with laughter are treasures, and they tempt me to keep fighting. So further words form to fine verse. End poem.
Wow. That was cool, AP.
Thank you. Linda, you can start off.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it talks to me. It's this looking in the mirror and seeing somebody that you don't recognize, you don't want to recognize, because of time and the sense effect on us, that we've aged, and but we have to go on, and so we fight and we keep going, and there is this, yet the lure of children and the simplest of pleasures, that keeps us going in a way. But what I got out of this was carrying on through the ages and keeping your warrior within solid and ready for fighting. But it was really not, I thought it was really, really nice. It was very gothic and beautiful. Thanks, AP, for sharing it.
Thank you. Thanks for the good damage. Wayne, what did you think of this one?
Oh, I really like it. It kind of reminds me of myself a bit. But to look in the mirror, see what the time has done to one so cruelly is a hard event for anybody looking there and just think about where they are and what they've been through. I like the lines that says, the echoes of my footsteps placed out there on the sides of a breeze. I can hate this poem a whole lot. It's got a lot of emotion, a lot of feeling in it. And when you get older, you just got to go and keep the struggle up and continue your life and enjoy your life. But he says at the end of it, he says, and they tempt me to keep fighting. So that's what you have to do as you get older. And they don't just giving up. Life's too good to give up. Great job.
No, agreed. No, thank you. Thanks for that. And Silk, did you want to say a few words about this one?
Yeah, I agree. It was a little gothic, and I really dug that. And I liked your title, too. It's kind of a good wordplay there, more 500 than solitary. Kind of, I think, were you kind of pertaining to the movie 500, or?
Yeah.
A bit, or?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought. I dug that. And I really, really liked your rhyme structure here, too. It's kind of how you had it going with the alternating A-B-A-B, but in couplets. And it's kind of unique. And I really liked your comparison to the mirror and the version. It says, I've become, and then down here where you said, discarded or replaced by an artificial sum. I really enjoyed that. Your vision, or your visuals down here with the mangoes, pineapples, and cherries with laughter or treasures. Especially, that was great. And I really enjoyed the way you worked his quote right into your poem here, and then just made it your own unique take, though, too. So it's just a really lovely piece with a nice little gothic tense, and I think a little bit of an air of, not despair, but I'm not sure. I'm trying to think the right word. It's just eluding me, though. But a great poem.
Thank you. Thank you, Silk. Yeah, it was... The reason for writing it is because we both Deb and I expected Alf to be here today and to get a message from him. We haven't heard from him, and that's worrying both of us. Alf, if you're out, please get a message. Because Alf hasn't been very well of late, so. Fingers crossed. It's just a comms or a PC problem. Okay, we have got two more poems to go. We have got the SoundCloud by Titus, and so I was going to put that up on the board next. And then we have a piece by Crystal, so I'm going to leave that just in case Crystal comes by. And so, and if she doesn't, I'll read it for her. So we've got two more poems to go. The first is a Requiet from a Romantic Age by Titus, and I'm just about to play the SoundCloud now.
A Requiet from a Romantic Age. There are falls from grace, our paths are given by definition. Serendipity will give us heaven, albeit to express the utmost care and attention upon each other. Of the creation did I mention, it is all made up, my dear. It is music to our ears to demonstrate a calm, which is illicit, it appears unduly like all Goya paintings. The ploy to befit Scribbin's poem of ecstasy, it softens as moonlit unravels the romance of it all. Love will kindly envelop a self-love inhibition, as it will blindly incorporeal all substance. It will bestir a wall between us and the outside world. Another call would languish words among us, an elucidation which serves to clear and cast out an elation. A mordant mongering of word smithery, misery among the abashed harbor sagacity. A miserly crew who cannot gather words, if at all among themselves, 'tis shambolic. For us the example behind the new moon, if not then to entrance new beginnings from an ideal world, I reminisce a prominence exists exclusively to show words from what might we become. Love is afterwards a lasting impression, given to others like before did empathy relate. Dutifully upon who to adore. Love is music to the eyes and ears. Will restore the magic from an age withdrawn from the war of words. As politicians whose promises swore to alleviate the woe of its people, romance saw the monstrous impediment of what did bestrew our faith. If feelings best describe who we are, one cannot be near enough to be never too far. Trading places with the cobbles where we trod, shadows would truncate the schism to entrance timelines, as do heavenly hand-me-downs prod, the conscience of time enamored as romance.
Well, it's a complex poem, beautifully written, and I have to say, my favourite piece is, where is it? I just had it there 2 seconds ago. Here we go. From what we might become, love is afterwards a lasting impression, given to others like before. I love the idea that love is afterwards a lasting impression. I think it's beautiful. Wayne, what did you think of Titus's piece? Whoops. Wayne? Maybe. Wayne, are you still there? Maybe not. Liquid Damage, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. And I think this is true Titus form. He writes about romanticism in just the perfect poetic cadence, and if that makes any sense, it just flows, I just love how he writes stuff. It makes you, draws you in to this Baroque story, the music in the background, the imagery of the poetry, just everything. The Goya paintings, it's just all so lovely. And Titus, I respect your poetry so well,
And I respect you as a poet, and thank you for sharing this beautiful piece.
Now, Wayne is here, but he can't get his screen to get him off mute. So, Wayne, have you managed to do that? If you haven't, I will get to Crystal's poem, and I'll get you to comment on both poems at the one time. So, Wayne, are you there? No, not yet. Okay, righto. I'm going to do Crystal Hope's poem, which is the last one of the night. I should say, too, I should remind everybody of the programs which are coming up on A Team of Voices, and Deb would say that I was remiss if I didn't do that, so just bear with me as I get my comment here from Deb in front of me that tells me what exactly shows we have got coming up. So, our next two shows, Wednesday is Page Numbers with Crystal at 10 Eastern, and on Thursday, as you heard a little bit earlier, is Sweet with Sweet Discussions back on this Thursday night with Saturday Night Live as the prompt. So, now that we've done those two, I'm going back to the main board and I'm going to read Crystal Hope's poem, and at least Wayne can hear us, so that's a good start. And that poem is called Amber Leaves in the Breeze, and the quote was, "Echoes of my footsteps play solitaire on the sigh of a breeze," which, of course, I chose as well. Lovely quote. By Alf Collier, and it goes a little bit like this. Crisp leaves whisper to her wiggling toes, rubbing skin follicles against mossy oak. Sunlight beckons on her rosy cheeks, flooding with teardrops, soaking her cloak. Braided twigs dance on her flabby shoulder, bouncing onto boards of checkered chess. Green grasses tickle stubble on her kneecaps, as her nails finger the specks of dirt on her dress. Autumn branches colour with golden brass, folded with satin sheets and silk pillow shams. Her amber eyes weigh the orange needles, cushioned between her palms like a cotton lamb. Honeydew mist bathes on her naked feet as a salty breeze buries the echoing clock. Cherubs of dried cherry blossoms whisked as her reflections tarried in her wasteland walk. End poem. Set me a task then. Talk jeepers, creepers, talk about sort of cross consonants and all sorts of stuff there, Linda. Goodness me. Anyway, I got it out without stumbling, which is good news.
You did a fine job, AP. I thought this was beautiful. And she wrote to the picture prompt perfectly. There was a lot of color in this, which made the imagery pop, and I liked that about it. It was kind of an easy, kind of a dance through the woods type thing. Just beautiful autumn colors and neat little ambiances that bring out, what am I trying to say? It just brings out the poetic ambience of the story.
Yes.
Very beautifully written. And thank you for sharing it, Crystal. It was very lovely.
Thank you, Crystal. It was very lovely. You're right. Now, Wayne, are you still struggling with your phone question? And you can answer me on the board if you like and say, oh, here we go. I've got Wayne's comment in front of me, which was on the board. You know, I just had to look, didn't I? Okay. So Wayne said, lovely phrasing, crisp leaves whisper, braided twigs dance and honeydew mist bathes. I love these lines. Great job, Crystal. So, and Wayne, I don't have, you obviously don't like your phone very much. I won't say that. Too sad. Okie doke. So, with all of that, I believe we have got to the end of the list. And I'm just because you never quite know and somebody might have got added and all that stuff, but I think we actually have got to the end of the list. So, firstly, my thanks to Alf for the use of all your quotes, and please get in touch because we want to make sure that you're okay. To either Deb or myself. Thank you to all the poets who came and put pieces in today. Get well soon, Deb. She genuinely did not sound 100%, and that's not like Deb at all. So, Deb, get well. My thanks especially to Liquid Damage and to Wayne for hanging in the whole time. It's much appreciated. Sure. Makes my job much easier. And my thanks to all the other callers, and of which there were many. So Stephen and Silk and Sky and David, all wonderful to hear from you. It makes my job a heck of a lot easier when we've got people calling in. So thank you very much to those people, and thank you to all the people who wrote. And finally, I should say, happy birthday, Sweet, again. I said it a couple of times, but I just wanted to make sure that she knew that we knew that she knew that we knew that she had to have a good birthday. So all the best, Sweet. I hope you have fun. And apart from that, I think we're all over bar the shouting, everybody. So thank you, everybody. Thank you again, Linda. Thank you Wayne.
Thank you.
It's been good fun. And I was thinking about what sort of poem we can do for, because I was thinking happy birthday, yeah. But we didn't even have like the Stevie Wonder version to sort of finish, you know. So, you know, you can't really do that, you see. So I'm just having a quick look now for something appropriate for a sort of replacement birthday sort of song, you know. So bear with me while I do that. But apart from that, it's been a pleasure. And as I said, Deb, please get better. We've got shows Wednesday and Thursday. Look those up. In the meantime, this is not happy birthday, but all the best, Sweet, and all the best, Deb. Get better soon.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
Everybody get well, Deb. Happy birthday, Steve. Sweet. Bye, everybody.